Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
It is November the 6th. We are in Shmuel, Perket Ches, chapter 19. We left off last time with a whole perek about Shaul and David and the jealousy, the ruach ra, the evil spirit, and the David nearly marrying Merav, the first daughter of Shaul, and eventually actually marrying Michal, the next daughter of Shaul. We have David's close relationship with Yehonah's son and his close relationship with Michal, and the way that Shaul struggles with this issue of David. But the most recent thing we had is that David is yet again successful in battle against the Plishtim. And that leads to Perek Yud Tes. Vayidaber Shaul el Yonasan beno ve'al kol avadav lahamis es David. And Shaul spoke to Yonasan his son and to all of his servant to kill David, to put David to death. So Shaul now overtly commands, or I guess it's a command, that David is to be put to death. This is beyond what has happened before. Before, if you'll recall, Shaul tried to kill David, and David miraculously moved away at the last minute, last second, and was not struck by Shaul two times. Shaul realized that Hashem was saving David. Then he tried to have David killed in battle with the Plishtim. Then he tried to have him killed in battle by having the Plishtim become incensed with the barbarism of David, and nothing has worked. Now Shaul overtly commands to kill David. V'Yonasan ben Shaul chavetz b'David mo'od. But Yonasan ben Shaul, the son of Shaul, is very fond of David. V'yagid Yonasan l'David leimor. Yonasan told David, saying, V'vakesh Shaul avi l'hamisecha. Shaul, my father, wants to kill you. V'ata, and now, hishamer nava boker. Be guarded, be careful in the morning. V'yashavta v'seser, you should stay in hiding. V'nachbesa. V'seser means in... there are two... V'seser and nachbesa both mean to hide. V'seser means to stay in a secret place. V'nachbesa and remain, and you should be hidden. V'ania yitzei, I'll go out. V'amadati liyad avi, I'll stand next to my father. V'asadeh asher atah sham, in the field that you are there. V'ani adaber b'cha el avi, and I'll speak about you to my father. V'ro'isi ma, and I'll see what happens. V'igadati lach, and I'll tell you. V'idaber Yehonasan, now they do this. David hides. And the next morning, Yehonasan speaks to his father in the field. V'idaber Yehonasan b'David tov, and Yehonasan spoke about David in a good way. El Shaul Aviv to Shaul's father. Vayomer Lavin, he said to him, Al yechetah ha-melech be'avdo v'David. The king should not sin with his servant, with David. Ki lo chatalach, for he has not sinned to you. V'chim asav tov l'cha ma'od, and his actions are actually good for you. Vayasem es nafsho v'chapo, he put his soul in his palm, which means he risked his life. Vayachas ha-plishti, and he struck down the plishti, Goliath. Vayas Hashem Teshua Gedola L'chol Yisrael, Hashem did a great salvation for all the Jews. Ra'isa, you saw it, Vatismach, and you were happy. V'lamasechet Abedam Naki, why should you sin with clean blood? L'hamis says David Chinam, to kill David for no reason. Vayishma Shaul B'kol Yehonasan, Shaul listened to the words of Yehonasan. Vayishava Shaul, and Shaul swore, Chai Hashem, I swear by Hashem, imulas, if David shall die, which means David will not die. Vayikra Yehonasan to David. Yehonasan called to David. Vayaged lo Yehonasan eskol advarim ha'ila. Yehonasan told him all these things. Vayaveh Yehonasan is David al Shaul. Yehonasan brought David to Shaul. Vayhil lefanav ki esmol shel Shaul. And he was in front of him like he had been the day before and the day before that, meaning back to the good relationship that David had with Shaul.
Who is normally now?
David.
Okay.
David and Shaul. Let's pause here. So we have the this Ruach Ra, this evil spirit, gets to Shaul again, and he begins to want to kill David, and this time he doesn't hide it. He says it overtly that he wants to kill David. Yonasan comes up with a plan for David, and that is to hide while Yonasan speaks to Shaul good about David, and then let's see what happens. And he does so, and he says nice things about David, and Shaul comes around and he says, I swear that he will not die. And David comes out and he's back to the way he was with Shaul. This is going to be very short lived, as we'll see in a moment, that the intent to kill David is going to return to Shaul, as he will have a very, very hard time dealing with this Ruach Ra, this evil spirit. Now, why does Yonasan need the plan? If Yonasan here speaks to his father and explains why he should not want to kill David, and we spell it out here in Psukim Dalid and Hey in 4 and 5, and he enumerates reasons why Shaul should be happy with David rather than upset with him. And Shaul listens. Shaul comes around, he snaps out of it, and he's able to hear what Yonasan has to say. Why does he need this whole plan? In Pasuk Aleph, in verse 1, when Shaul tells Yonasan and his servants he wants to kill David, why couldn't Yonasan get up right then and defend David? But Yonasan doesn't do that. Instead, he allows Shaul's edict to go out. He then plots with David how to get around the problem by hiding, and then I'll speak to my father, etc. So why is that necessary? Why doesn't Yonasan immediately defend David?
You're not supposed to publicly embarrass your father.
Okay. Maybe so why doesn't Yonasan then pull his father to a side room and talk to him?
Because maybe he needed to cool down.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool down and get rid of the rough.
You're not going to make sense of him. You have to wait till surprise.
Okay. So an answer could be that the Ruach Ra was very bad and he needed to subside. The thing is that the Navi doesn't point that out. We know there's a Ruach Ra besetting Shaul because we were told that before. But the Navi doesn't tell us that the Ruach Ra abated at all between the evening and the morning. But it might be true. That is a plausible answer, that in the evening Yonasan saw it just wasn't going to work. And the next morning, then it would work.
Well, the anger came at the new moon, which is when David wanes, and then by this time that all this has happened, it's the full moon, when David is stronger, and the evil is less.
It sounds very good. The problem is that it seems to be it was one morning, when it was one after the other, because it was 12 hours later.
Well, it was at least 3 days after the new moon.
No, you're thinking of a different story. That was
one at the end of the last chapter.
At the end of the last chapter, it said 3 days.
What then?
Did he ask why is David missing?
After
the third day.
No, you're thinking about the Haftorah of this past Shabbos, which we haven't gotten to yet. That's Parak Chaf. It sounds very similar to this, but it's a different story. It's a completely different story. Okay. That chronologically happens later.
Is there anything about day and night here in this person, in Sarah?
Well, it just says that the next morning. It doesn't say night, but it says the next morning
where you should hide.
Pasuk Beis.
I keep thinking maybe that has, I don't know what the answer is, but I have a feeling that has something to do with it, the fact that he waited until the next morning.
Okay.
You can say why.
No, that's a good point.
Maybe the Navi's telling us this is going to be a repetitive pattern between Shaul and David.
Well, we know that is true. It's definitely a repetitive pattern. There's no question about it. It's similar to saying why Yohanneson waited. So there's only three pieces of information that we have, at least that I noticed, that we have that distinguish the time when Shaul tells Yonasan that he wants to kill him and then when Yonasan defends David. They are the morning, they are the field, and finally, it's the field that David is hiding in. He says, Yonasan specifically says, that I'm gonna bring my father out in Pasuk Gimel verse 3. I will go out and stand next to my father in the field that you are there, and I'll speak about you to my father. Now, it doesn't seem that David would be in earshot, because it says at the end of that pasuk that I'll speak to my father and I'll see what happens and then I'll tell you. So if Yonasan needs to tell David, and in fact in the end he does, because in pasuk Vav in verse 7, it says Yonasan called to David and Yonasan told him all these things. So apparently David was not in earshot. So the purpose of being in the field where David was not so that David could hear what was going on. That was not the reason. So there must have been a different reason. So it seems to me that Yonasan's plan was as follows. That really what all of you said, and we'll just put it all together, that Yonasan realized right away that there was no way at the moment when Shaul was announcing for the first time publicly means to Yonasan and to his servants. I don't mean it was announced as a proclamation to the kingdom, but I mean, what I need to say is Shaul was no longer making this a quiet, a surreptitious thing. You know, we'll send him out to war and the Plishtim will get him. It was a clear directive, I want David dead. So he's willing to say that. Yonasan realized at that moment the Ruach Achra must be very gripping and there's no way for me to talk him out of it at that time. And therefore, he needed a plan. So he said to David, my plan is to wait till morning. In the morning, it's a new day, so, you know, there's always room for change in the morning. There's always a hischatshus, there's always a newness. Every day there's a newness. And that can always change things, you know, and that's valuable. Plus, we're going to go out to the field, like was mentioned, not to be in the court in the palace, just out in the field where we can talk frankly without any distractions. But I want you there. Why do I want you there? Because Yonasan feels correctly that in order for this to work, Yonasan knows this. His father is sick. His father has an illness, and it's very difficult to deal with this illness. I want to give you an analogy to what he's got, to what Shaul has. I mean, we can talk about all kinds of mental illness that people may something like that. But to me, I'm thinking more about this is not what he has, but it's akin to a kind of dementia, or a kind of the onset of Alzheimer's kind of thing, where there are times when he's perfectly lucid and the times when he's just not there. And that's what's happening over here. There are times when he's perfectly able to hear what's going on and understand the correct way to deal with David, and then there are times when he just can't. Shaul is lost. I don't mean to say Chas v'Shalom, I don't mean to say that he can't think. What I mean to say is that he's taken over by this Ruach Ra. And we're going to see as it's going to go back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. So Yonasan wants to be able to talk to his father, but in addition to talking to his father, he wants some way of solidifying any success that he has. So he wants to be able to get Shaul to a good place, but after he gets Shaul to a good place, he immediately wants there to be a connection between Shaul and David. He immediately wants David to emerge from hiding and have an immediate meeting with his father to bring it home that they're going to have this relationship that's going to work. And so he has David in the field and he talks to his father in that field. And then when he successfully talks his father into accepting David, then he calls Yonasan, calls to David, tells him what's happening, and he brings Pasuk Zion, Vayave Yehonasan is David al Shaul. He brings Yehonasan to Shaul. Yehonasan brings David to Shaul. It's a formal thing. He calls him out of hiding, tells him what happened, and then he brings him forward to his father. So I'm standing right there. He brings him forward to Shaul. Shaul, here's David. David, here's Shaul. Here. And it becomes, it's a way of solidifying. It should be, as the Navi himself says, now it is, Ke Esmol Shaul Shaul. It's back to the way they were. Back to the way they were yesterday, the day before. Yeah.
Really. Is he not particularly on other matters, or just in the matter?
I don't know. That's a good question. Is he running the country properly? Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know the answer. Typically, when a person is so wrapped up in one matter where they're clearly biased and clearly acting, their decision making process has been affected. Generally speaking, that affects everything else in their lives too. It's rare that a person is able to, you know, to set that aside and it becomes just one point. Everything else is fine. Usually, it affects everything, and we see that today. See when
no.
a person becomes very.
But then, no, he's not responsible.
Well, we'll get to Nov later. Okay. He is responsible for Nov to a certain extent. We'll get to that later. Yonasan says he's going to speak well of David, and he does, and he speaks well of David. This is an interesting thing. We know the halakha is that one is not allowed to speak in a complimentary way about a person in front of their enemy, in front of someone who doesn't like them. Because when you speak in a complimentary fashion in front of someone who doesn't like them, you're inviting the person who doesn't like them to berate the person you're speaking about, to deny the goodness or to point out that, yeah, it's true, but, you know, that kind of thing. And it causes Lashon Hara. And that same halacha applies not to praise someone in public, because in public there's certainly someone there who doesn't like him. So to do it publicly, one should never praise anybody, which is why at these dinners where we honor people, it's always questionable why we're able to do that, because really we're not supposed to praise, even not excessive praise, just regular praise. To do it in a public fashion is dangerous, because in a public setting, there's almost always, there'll be somebody there who doesn't like him.
There won't be somebody who's paying $100.
Right, so that's why at a dinner we do it, because at a dinner we presume that whoever at the dinner is there to honor the person, and therefore that's what they're there for. They want to hear the praise of the person. So that's what we're presuming, and that's why we not only praise, but we give excessive praise. Right? But the truth is that ideally it's not a good thing to do, generally speaking, and excessive praise is never good, because they're for sure, even if people are not that person's enemy, but to excessively praise someone, then you're really asking, because people say no one can be that good, you know, and then they want to find flaw, so it makes people feel very defensive and feel it makes people feel inferior and they want to knock them down. So here Yonasan says, that's what I'm going to do, David. I'm going to speak about you in front of my father, and I'm going to praise you in order to see how my father reacts. That's what we want to do over here. Now, Yonasan is very, very crafty about how he does this. Mm-hmm. He doesn't just say, Dov is a good guy, why are you angry at him? He doesn't do that. He points out to Shaul why David is good for him, is good for Shaul. He refers to David as your servant David, which David himself calls himself. And he says that David's actions are good for you. Look what he did. He risked his life and he struck down the Plishti. That was good for you, because that Plishti was holding us all hostage, so to speak. And then he says more than that. And Hashem brought a great salvation to all the Jews through David. He's invoking Hashem. He's saying, look, let's call a spade a spade. This is not some person who's power hungry, who's just swaying the people with his charisma. This is Hashem bringing great salvation through this person. Clearly Hashem has put a stamp of approval on this person. Not only that, but when it happened in Pasuk K, he says, when it happened, Ra'isa v'tismach, you saw this and you were happy. Shaul, remember, my father, remember what it was like. You were happy when David killed Goliath. So why should you sin with the clean blood to kill David for no reason? And Shaul hears the whole thing. Shaul listens, he hears, and Yonasan is able to bring Shaul back to his senses, and he swears he will not kill David. Okay, but unfortunately, as we mentioned, this is short-lived. Pasuk has verse 8. Vatosef hamilchama lios, and the war continued. Vayetze David, and David went out, vayilachem ba'plishtim, and he fought with the plishtim. Vayach bohem amaka gedola, and he struck down a great strike. He really killed many of them. Vayanusu mipanav, and they ran away from before him. So here the Navi doesn't even relate to us the how the papers, how the headlines said David kills Plishtim. It doesn't even tell us that. It's just the fact is that he defeated masses of Plishtim. Then Vatehi Ruach Hashem Ra El Shol, and the evil spirit of Hashem was to Shol. Vehu Beveso, and he was in his house, Yoshev, sitting, V'chaniso biyado, and his spear was in his hand. V'david minagain, or his sword was in his hand. I'm not sure what, which one that is. V'david minagain biyad, and David was playing with his hands. He was playing the instrument nearby. He was right there. Now, David was playing the instrument over there next to Shaul, which means, because this was, they were back to the way they were. David was back in Shaul's house playing the instrument for Shaul the way he had done before. And David is unsuspecting because he feels safe. Shaul has sworn that he'll be safe. And David trusts him 100%. Vayivakei Shaul lahakos b'chanis b'David u'bakir. Shaul wants to strike with the chanis, with this
spear
in David and in the wall, which means he wants to, he's going to throw it at him and he wants to run it through him and into the wall. Okay, so it would be such a powerful jab that it will kill David. But Yiftar mipnei Shaul, and he moved away from before Shaul, very similar to what happened before, that David was not realizing that Shaul was about to attack him, and Hashem had David move away at the last second. And the spear went into the wall. Now this time, David notices it. Last time this happened, David didn't notice that Shaul had tried to strike him twice. Here, the thing clangs into the wall. So you can't miss that. So David looks up, startled, sees what happened, understands. For David nus, David ran away. And he escaped that evening. So he escapes from Shaul and he goes home. Who is home with him?
Michal.
Yes.
It's interesting. It's implied so that the Ruach Ra happens at night. Does he fly? You know, he flies at night, and then when Yonasan waits till the next day in the field, at the nighttime.
Could be that it is worse. It is possible that it is worse. It is possible. Good point. Vayishlach Shaul Malachim El Beis David L'Shamro, and the Shaul sent messengers to the house of David to watch him, v'lahami soba boker, and then kill him in the morning. V'atagei leDavid, Michal ishto leimar. So Michal, his wife, said to David, im eincha mevaleit es nafshecha halayla. If you do not escape for your soul tonight, machara tamumas, tomorrow you will be dead. So Michal warns him, you are in trouble. Now Shaul does not send the messengers to kill David immediately. He sends the messengers to guard David's house so that in the morning they can kill David. We'll get back to that point in a moment. Vatorid Michal is David ba'ara chalon, and Michal lowered David by the window. The guards were at the door, and she lowered him from a window. Vayelech, and he went. Vayivrach, and he escaped. And he ran. Vayimolit, and he escaped. Now Michal did not want the guards to chase after David right away. Vatikach Michal es hatirafim, and Michal took the tirafim. Tirafim were forms of people. They looked like they had the basic form of a person. Vatasem el hamita, she put it in the bed. So she put this form of a person in a bed, in David's bed, and covered it with a blanket. The ace kivir ha'izim, and the skin of the goats, sama mirashosav, she put at the head. The skin of the goats has hair on it. So she put it at the head of where those terafim were, v'techas babagen, and she covered it with a blanket, with clothing, with a garment. So it made it look like there was someone lying in bed. Vayishlach Shaul malachim lakachas es David. Shaul sent messengers to take David. V'tomer, and she said, cholahu, he's sick. So she was buying time over here. Vayishlach Shaul es hamalachim liros es David lemar. And Shaul sent malachim messengers to see David, saying, "Ha'alu osov amita elayla hamiso, bring him up in his bed to me to kill him." If he can't walk, fine, pick up the bed and bring it here, and I'll kill him, or he'll be killed. Vayavo amalachim, and the messengers came. Vineat tirafim alamita, they find tirafim, they find these forms in the bed. Uchavir ha'izim rashosav, with the skins of the goats at the head. So they realized that they had been duped. So then Shaul has Michal come before him, his own daughter. Vayomer Shaul el Michal, Shaul says to Michal, Lama kacha rimi sini, why did you trick me in this way? Vatishalchi es oivi vayimaleit, and you sent away my enemy and he escaped. Vatoma Michal al Shaul. Michal said to Shaul, Hu amar elai? He said to me, David said to me, Shalcheni, send me away. Lama amisteich, why should I kill you? So Michal says, David threatened me. He would have killed me. And so I had to let him go. I had to help him escape, otherwise he would have killed me.
Right.
So that is her amasla, that is her excuse to her father to mollify him, why she let David go. Okay, let's pause here before discussing where David runs to and how he eventually gets away from Shaul. So, okay, you're on your hand up, so we'll take the question first. Although
Michal had took the teraphim of her father,
good.
And they were considered idols.
Yes.
What does Michal and David have
okay,
to do with
idols? Okay, so all the commentators ask this question, yes. but I'm glad you bring this up anyway, even without the question, because you're invoking Rachel and the teraphim, these forms that she took from her father, which is in this week's Parsha Vayetzeh. Okay, so we're gonna get to that. So let's hold off for that for a moment. I want to point out a couple of things, and we're going to talk about that. So, first of all, Pasuk Ches, verse 8. I want to draw attention to a very interesting omission. So, we have David and Shaul back to the way they were. And then it says, Pasuk Ches, verse 8, Vatosef hamilchama lios. And the war continued to be. What war? With the Plishtim, right? That's what it says next. David went out and he fought with the Plishtim. Although I submit to you that
between David and Shaul,
or the war between
Shaul and David,
or Shaul and his Ra,
Shaul and his Ruach Ra. But Tosef HaMilchama Lios, the war continued. It's true that Yonatan had gained a temporary reprieve and got Shaul back to his senses with David. But the war continued to be. Shaul did not have any let up. There was still this battle, this internal battle in Shaul with this jealousy and the Ruach Ra, and he's fighting. David goes out and fights the Plishtim, comes back, and now Shaul is absolutely caught up with the Ruach Ra again in Pasuk Tes. I also wonder if this is purely speculative, but I wonder if the ongoing battle with the Plishtim is a reflection of the ongoing battle of Shaul. The ongoing battle that Shaul has with himself is reflected by the ongoing battle of the Plishtim. Eventually, Shaul is going to be killed. This whole thing is going to lead to his demise. He will be killed. Who will kill him?
Yes.
The Plishtim, I mean, eventually we'll see that there's going to be someone else who actually does the final blow. It's with the person from it, it's true. But it's in the battle with the Plishtim that he and his sons get killed. The Plishtim are being beaten right and left by David, but they keep coming back for more. Why aren't they finally subdued? So it seems to me that Hashem is reflecting this struggle of Shaul in the Plishtim constantly coming back for more. There's more battle. Shaul does not want to kill David in his house at night. He wants him brought to him and killed. Why? Why not just have the messengers march into David's house and kill him?
There's no parade for everyone to see.
Okay. So one is that although Shaul has instructed his servants that my directive is that David be killed, but that's not the same thing as issuing a general decree to the whole kingdom that David is a man with a price on his head. That's a little going further, and he's not ready for that yet. At this point, he still wants this done in a more quiet way. So if it can't be the Plishtim killing him, and it can't be Shaul killing David in Shaul's chambers, you know, where no one else is there. So, but at least have the guards bring David to the palace and we'll have him killed over there. One of the Mefarshim also says that he didn't want to kill David in front of his daughter, in front of David's wife, Michal, who he knows is fond of David and doesn't want to kill him in front of her. So, he says, wait till morning. In the morning, we will bring him to me and have him killed. Yes?
So he's right now within that evil
yeah. Yeah, that's
he doesn't realize the difference between murder and not murder.
He feels that David deserves to die. David is usurping the throne.
So in his mind, it's not a question of murder.
I don't believe so. It's treason. The Michal lowers David through the window. Now, just as a point of interest, where else do we have lowering somebody through a window? Okay, with Rachav in Sefer Yehoshua, Rachav lowers the two spies, Kalev and Pinchas, by the window. So it's an interesting thing that we have here a very similar story. It doesn't say anything about a rope over here. Over there it said a rope. But nevertheless, you have an interesting, the same verb, Vatored, and she lowered, it says over there as well. And he runs away. Now, Michal takes the trophim. So, Mrs. Lewis asked, what about these trophim? I mean, trophim in the Chumash, in this coming week's parasha, are going to be statues, idolatry, that Rachel will take from her father Lavan in order to get her father to stop worshiping them. She will steal them. And then when he comes searching for them, she'll sit on them to keep him from finding them. And here she takes the trophim. Now this is strange that there would be trophim, that there would be these what would seem to be idols in her house. So the simple answer is that trophim don't mean idols. Trophim means forms that are human shaped.
Statues?
If you would like an example today, mannequin. Right, that's right. Mannequin would be a good example. So it could be that she had in her house, or perhaps it was a way of hanging clothing. You know, that she had instead of a closet, she had, you know, this thing that she kept her clothing on. Perhaps something along those lines. But whatever it was in the form of a person, not an exact form of a person, but it was close enough that if you put it under a blanket, that it would look like a person. All right, so, but Dina's correct. We have to stop in order to... So we'll have to pick it up from this question of the Trophim and the Kavir Ezin next time. For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. He does not make money off the site, but he does need money in order to run the site. Those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.